radio@firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Hello, my name is Mike Gurley. I'm with the Fire Department Safety Officers Association. I'm the Eastern Director, and what I'm going to talk about today is how do we become, as an individual, personally engaged in safety and make it part of your strategic plan for your department that you're in. And so that can range from you being at the frontline firefighter to being the fire chief of the department. And in my case, I've been in the department for over 32 years, and I'm currently a battalion chief. And as a firefighter, I made a personal commitment to safety early on in my career because I had a company officer that wasn't really that safety conscious, and I got in a predicament a few times that I didn't feel comfortable with. So I made a commitment to myself that I got to start looking at my own personal safety in my actions and my performances. And actually, it helped me become when I became a company officer, it helped me become a better company officer. I really had to strive hard to take classes, become incident safety officer, and to have a safety background. And it kept me out of some tight situations. So I did safety. My department adopted the NFPA 1500. So I was beneficial to me and to my organization. I was taught early. If your organization doesn't have that, I advise you to get a copy of it or to become aware of it, of everything you can do. It's a large document. It's a lot that you can do, and every little bit helps. Now, as a company officer, you have to comply with your department's policies and procedures on safety. You can't sit there and say, "Oh, I don't agree with that," as a company officer, and then show that you're not doing things safely, because your men under you see that and they'll emulate it, and then you're creating unsafe workers. I know I developed the policy that no matter what training or action I was taking, we had a short safety briefing on it, doing drills, doing hydrant maintenance, doing hose testing, anything that involved physical activity that we could be unsafe, I had a short safety briefing in it. Currently, the departments that I'm in right now and some of the other departments I've known around the country, they've started writing a safety message in their policies or their standard operating guidelines. It's right in the top, right under the purpose. They put a safety message in there. What safety equipment, what safety procedures are expected to be followed doing this operation, say if it's hydrant maintenance or hose testing or whatever, it's written into it. And I think that's an excellent idea. It leaves it without a doubt any question what they're looking for. The other thing is we should practice and train like we're actually going to do it. We shouldn't cut corners. If we're going to do a drill, let's do it in full PPE. Do it with your breathing apparatus and doing helmet, gloves. Let's not cut corners, because you learn to cut corners, and when you ever put in a situation, you are going to cut corners, and you don't want to do that. That's not the time you want to do it, when you're actually under the gun or under fire. It's being cutting corners. Now, as a chief officer in a department, in which I have been on that side of the scope too, is you have to develop good, sound policies or guidelines that allow your crew to perform and do their job, but they also have to do it as safely as they can. You don't want anybody out there getting hurt. We're already engaged in dangerous operations. We don't need to make them more dangerous by not having the best PPE, having the best practices of doing business, having the equipment tested and approved. One of the key areas I think is important in any department, whether it's career, volunteer, combination department, you need to have a safety officer in your department, somebody that monitors all the safety disciplines that go on, all the new procedures that come out, go out and inspect the gear. I think it's critical that you have incident safety officers, have them that they're certified and have been properly trained and can go on the fire ground or EMS ground and offer good, safe eyes to keep all the personnel safe. I know personally, I got involved in safety when I was a company officer, and I was involved in an incident that involved two line of duty deaths in a mutual aid call with my neighboring department. And after seeing two firefighters lose their lives and involved in that incident, I committed myself to safety to the point that I transferred to the safety division within my department within 12 months and became a company officer over that. And that all spawned into me to developing an incident safety officer and a shift safety officer plan for our department, which we currently operate in. And then we have a shift safety officer on each shift, and they work 24/7, and they're trained, they're certified safety officers. And they go out and inspect the facilities, inspect gear, they monitor training, they monitor EMS and fire incidents. And when I wrote the proposal and submitted it to our senior staff, I did a lot of research on it and showed that we could save almost $500,000 over a 5-year period in workers' comp costs. And actually it did that. Over the 5 years, it saved about $480,000 in workers' comp costs. So it is a cost savings there. You have to put the research together, come up with a report, and you can show that you're going to save money by putting the shift safety officer program in place. And as members of the department, as a firefighter, or it really doesn't matter what level you are, you have to sustain and support the department's mission and their strategic plan on safety. And you can be the best advocate as a firefighter and a company officer or chief officer if you walk the walk. If you show and follow safety procedures that are out there and demonstrate that to all levels, they will see that it's important. And that's critical, especially at the company officer level. You have more impact on more people in one given day than anybody else. And as a company officer in the aspect of safety, demonstrate it in everything you do. Have your gloves on properly. I know one thing we implemented, our crews weren't using gloves doing hose rolling at fires and things because they were cumbersome. They were firefighting gloves. So we did an evaluation and we implemented leather work gloves, and they're allowed to be worn doing rolling hose or handling any kind of equipment that doesn't entail interior structural firefighting. And not to use them on extrications. We have extrication gloves of that, but we bought those gloves. They're cheap. They're under $10 a pair, and people wear them. We reduced our hand injuries, the lacerations and abrasions, the cut severely, which reduces workers' comp costs, which saves you money. The men are coming to work. They feel safe. So there's little things you can do. And that personal commitment as a firefighter, no matter what your gear is, inspect it. Make sure it's safe. Make sure it's good. Make sure you can go into the next fire and be safe, because that's one less thing that command officer or your company officer has to worry about. We have enough to worry about when we have a building on fire that's deteriorating, or an emergency medical scene that we have bloodborne pathogen incidents, and the company officer has to worry about if you have your gloves on or your shield on, or if you got to have your SCB on. If we do those every day, it takes one less thing out of that command officer's mind to take care of. He's got to worry about the building coming down or some other kind of disaster happening that's going to hurt the firefighters. He can more work on his strategic plan to protect lives and property. So I want to leave you with a couple of questions to ask yourself at the end of this podcast here. How can I personally engage in safety in my department? What can I do to be as safe as I can and not have my department have to worry about that and support it? Next thing is are there safety plans and policies in your department? If not, develop them. Go get involved in writing policies and guidelines to have those policies in place to help protect fellow firefighters. Ask yourself, what do you do? Do you wear your protective gear on a fire scene? Do you wear it on an emergency medical scene? Your key areas, those things are non-forgiving. If you get exposed to high heat or fire and get burned, or you get exposed to bloodborne pathogen, they're unforgiving. They're going to be with you forever. You're not going to forget them, and you're going to carry them throughout the rest of your career. So just remember that. I know I got committed early, even into physical fitness, health, and wellness. And I did it for myself because I wanted to have a life after the fire department when I retire, that I can be healthy and spend time with my kids and grandkids and do things. So just remember that. It's about the fire department, it's about you, and it's about the organization. So stay safe. If there's anything that you need, any questions you need with policies and procedures, if you go to the Fire Department Safety Officers Association website, there's plenty of information and links that get you into policies or get you help or And my contact information is on there. And have a good day. Thank you.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.